about me. And if it's not about me, well, then I really don't have a lot of interest in that, because following Jesus is not about myself. It's about him.
For 7 years, The Gift of Grace, hosted by Dr. Phil Giuliani and Stephen Garchar, has worked to share the word of God and proclaim the kingdom and salvation of the Messiah. You can hear Gift of Grace Ministries on WHKW every Sunday at 7:30 p.m.
Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission, said, go and make disciples.
And you're invited to join Gift of Grace Ministries every Friday night for Messianic-style worship and prayer. To learn more about the ministry or to leave a message of support, go to giftofgraceministries.org.
The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I think tonight's the Late Night Live that almost didn't happen. We were sitting here in the studio talking about some things and wasn't quite watching the clock there, but I'm glad to be here and glad you're here with us as well. And I want to welcome you to the program tonight. We'll be here until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stick with us. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we get you on the air here this evening. Let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you bless the program. Use it for your glory this evening. Thank you again for the opportunity you've given us. And we just pray that we could be a blessing and encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us to point people to Christ, Lord. And we just thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. Good to be with you tonight. And like I said, it's coming up, kind of got a quick start here. I didn't even have my headsets plugged in, I think. And I heard coming over the studio thing, the following program. I thought, hey, wait a minute. Is that us? It happens every once in a while. But we're glad to be able to be here. Snowy cold up here in northeastern Ohio tonight. 47 degrees on the thermometer in my car when I 47. What am I saying? See, I told you I'm in a hurry tonight. We're running around here. 27 degrees on the thermometer in my car. That wouldn't have been bad if it was 47, but 27 degrees on the thermometer in my car, and a bit of snow out, but not bad. I mean, we were just talking about how winter's been nice and mild here in January, and even if it's cold and snowy from here on out, we've got a good bit of our winter behind us now. We've got Groundhog Day coming up on Thursday, I believe, February 2nd. And so the easy way I figure with the groundhog is if he sees his shadow, it's 6 more weeks of winter. If he doesn't see his shadow, spring will be here in a month and a half. So that's pretty good. But that's coming up, Groundhog Day, and so we're looking forward to spring coming up here, you know, not too long. February's a short month. Next thing we know, it'll be March. And once you get to March, that's a nice transition month sliding into spring and Easter and all those wonderful things that spring brings, and the spring flowers and all that. And then summertime will be right around the corner. So hope wherever you're at, you're staying warm. And for our listeners down south, I didn't get a chance to see what your weather's like right now, but hopefully you're staying warm and comfortable down there and enjoying the weather. Well, we're going to talk about a number of things here on the program today. And, of course, just a reminder of a couple of things. You can follow us online at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also check us out on Facebook. We're on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al as well. And that's Facebook, and you can just find us Live with Pastor Al. I encourage you to check us out there, like us on Facebook. And I try to put things on there probably that are a little, more temporary and like some articles and things like that from time to time, and other bits of breaking news and things that are coming up, updates and things that are going to be happening with our program. Because if you're in the area where you get our Friday afternoon program, we're on Friday afternoons from 1:30 until 2 on AM 1220 WHKW out of Independence. That's the Cleveland, Ohio area. And sometimes, you know, we do something on there, and we have some different things going on, and I'll try and put that on Facebook. So I encourage you to follow us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, and you can keep track of some of those things. The web page, I try to get stuff on there too, but it takes a little longer to get it on the web page because, you know, the nice thing about Facebook is that you can just link and copy the link, put it on there. A lot of times you can just hit the little Facebook button. And interesting thing, thinking about Facebook, I just thought of an article I was reading this past week. What is his name? Matt Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, or Mark, right? I said Matt, didn't I? Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook founder. It looked like a voice from beyond the window that was cluing me in that I had the wrong name there. who I got in there. I'm trying to think, getting all my names messed up tonight, but Andrew's in there helping keep me straight, right? Did I get you right? No, it's one of those nights tonight. Sorry. But, what I was bringing up is that he in the past has always claimed to be an atheist. He was raised in a Jewish background, and he has claimed to be an atheist. And back in, I think it was November, December, I forget now exactly, somebody asked him on Facebook about being an atheist. And basically he said he's not really anymore. He believes that religion is very important. And what caught my eye is that he had just met with a bunch. He's traveling around the United States. I guess he's trying to visit all 50 states and talk with people in all 50 states. And while in Texas recently, he met with a number of pastors in the Waco, Texas area. Some of the towns around there invited a number of them in, and some of the pastors had said they thought when they were invited there that Zuckerberg was just going to, you know, try to tell them about some of the things that he's doing and some of his plans, but said that really he only spoke for a minute or two, and then he started asking questions and gave, you know, 90% of the time to the pastors to answer his questions. He was very attentive. So, strange things happen. Certainly pray for him. I was telling our church today about Anthony Flew, who is probably one of the most well-respected and well-known atheist philosophers in the world up until recently. He was about 90-some years old when looking at the overwhelming evidence that the world is designed, not happenstance. He repudiated his 90-some years of atheism and said that he now believed that there was a God. Now, he since died, I think about a year or two ago, and I don't know how much further he progressed, but I did find that it was interesting that here's a guy who was about 90-some years old, and he was willing to say that the evidence suggests that if you're intellectually honest, that there is some form of a God. Now, at the time, he didn't know whether it was the Christian God, the Muslim God, or a Buddhist deity of some sort or whatever. He just, he said the evidence said that you had to be intellectually honest. I mean, if you were intellectually honest, you had to believe that there's a God. In fact, I had written an article about that, an essay on that a few years back. You can find it on our website, livewithpastoral.com, appropriately titled One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest. But it's interesting because the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God, but it also says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it makes sense because, you know, as we were talking about at church tonight, and I said, hey, if I picked up a coin off from the ground and handed it to somebody, and they said, "Oh, what a shiny little pebble you found there." I said, "Well, why? It's not a pebble, it's a coin." And the guy said, no, it's a pebble. Look at that. It's just an old pebble." And I said, "Well, no, look, it's got writing on it. It's got a head on it engraved on it. It's got little ridges along the edge and serrations along the edge." And he said, "No, it's just a neat stone." Now, you would look at that and say, "Well, you're crazy." And if he said, "Well, why do you think it's anything but a stone?" I'll say, "Well, look at the design. Look at the evidence that there was some intelligence behind this." And if he still persisted in saying, "Oh, it's just a stone," you would think, "Well, the guy's crazy." Well, that's along the same lines why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." We could argue who the God is. We could argue a lot of things about God. But, you know, the fact of the matter is something had to create something. So Anthony Flew rejected a lifetime of atheism. And at the time, people were remarking about how, wow, this guy, 90 years old, and he's just, his mind is sharp as a tack. You know, he is just brilliant. There's nothing wrong with his mind. And pretty much about the day that he announced that he now believed that there was a deity of some sort, all of a sudden they said, "Oh, poor Anthony Flew. At his advanced age, he's getting dementia. He's getting senile." Because they didn't like what he was saying. And rather than listen to his reason, they just wrote him off. But anyway, that wasn't exactly what I was planning on getting into right at the moment there. But thinking about that as we were talking here. A lot of stuff happening in the world around us. And like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's word, you can give us a call here tonight, and we'd love to get you on the radio here tonight with your questions. And we're going to talk about probably some of the stuff that's happening. Depending on your perspective, you're probably elated at what President Trump and his administration are doing, or you're probably terribly upset over it. And if you're pro-life, and just a reminder, they had the 44th annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. on Friday, and I don't know what the numbers are just yet. I've heard everything from, somebody saying that was there that said that the numbers were about average. Another person said they were above average, and I even heard one person say that there was over 2 million people there. I don't know. I don't know. I've not been able to get any decent statistics there just yet. The fact of the matter is there was a lot of people there, and it was orderly. And the other thing that I wanted to mention is that this year they had a first. They had the first time that a sitting vice president addressed in person the March for Life. Vice President Mike Pence addressed the march, and he is the highest ranking government official ever to address the March for Life. And at the same time, we've seen a variety of things taking place inside of the Congress with legislation, and then with some of President Trump's executive orders, things very, very favorable in regards to the pro-life issues. And so that was good to see here. I was going to see if I had something here real quick on some of that there. I just had it right here just a minute ago. But the Hyde Amendment was one of the things I wanted to touch on. The Hyde Amendment prohibits the federal funding of abortion, or direct funding of it. And it's been a temporary thing. And as a result, the House passed a House Act making the Hyde Amendment a permanent thing. And I believe the Senate is taking that up here very shortly. And then, of course, President Trump has indicated that he would sign that should it reach his desk. So that's an encouraging thing. And then I know I'm going to get the name of this one wrong. The Mexico City policy, I think they called it, that prohibits the U.S. government funding abortions overseas in other countries and things of that nature. So these are some things that have been happening. You know, the one thing that's been really interesting with this is, and this shows that he's not coming from, you know, the usual politician school of thought here, because generally speaking, what we've seen, especially in the first 100 days or something, is like this week is education week. And then next week is jobs week. And then the next week is environmentalism, you know, environmental issues week. And the next week is energy issues. And each week they would focus on something and they would try to just concentrate on that all week. Well, he's hit environment. He's hit pro-life. He's hit immigration. He's hit the wall. He's hit the wall. That's a good choice of words right there. He's hit the wall. But he's all these things, you know, he's just hitting several major things a day, and rather than waiting. And I was at a thing yesterday morning, and there were two retired businessmen there. One had been an accountant, retired from the business world, I believe, and I forget what the other guy did, and they, but they were both had been in business world for quite a number of years, decades, and they were talking about what he's doing, and they said, you know, it's just like watching a business executive at work. They've got their to-do list, you know, they're checking off the things that they have to do, and they're basically getting people in saying, okay, well, what's the issue? What do we need to do to resolve this? What are the resources that we need? What's the options? What's your thoughts? Okay, let's make a decision. Here's the decision. Okay, go carry it out. All right, what's the next line of business? And, well, that makes sense. That's what he was. He was a CEO of a, you know, a large company, and he is approaching it in that fashion. But I thought the other thing was kind of interesting is, you know, he's throwing out all of these major policy things left and right, and then in the midst of it, he throws out a tweet, and the media goes squirrel, and they all go running after it, and they don't know what's going on, it seems like. So I think he knows what he's doing, and I said it before, and I'll say it again. I'm sure I'll say it again during the next 4 years. He's going to do things that make us upset. He's going to do things that disappoint us. He's going to do things that frustrate us. But I really do think that overall, on the balance, it's going to be much better than, you know, like I said, I think Donald Trump on his worst day is going to be better than Hillary Clinton would have been on her best day. And I really believe that. So at any rate, those are some of the things that are happening that you could talk about as well. And it doesn't have to be anything about what's going on in the political realm right now. We certainly have a number of other things that are happening in the world around us. But one that kind of blends things a little bit here. Excuse me. I got a question about Leviticus chapter 19. And let's see, let me find it here. Leviticus chapter 19, getting down toward the end of the chapter here. Excuse me. And it says, starting verse 33, "And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And then it goes on to talk about just judgment and things like that. But these two verses here, you know, some people want to apply this to the immigration issue, but let's break this down real quick. And this is under Levitical law for the Jewish nation. This is what they how they were supposed to deal with people. And it says, "And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land." Now, here's the deal. A stranger is somebody who's not Jewish, okay? And they're sojourning, meaning they're dwelling there, they're living there in that land of the Jewish people. They're living in the Jewish land in Israel, and they're there. And he says, "Ye shall not vex him." Now, this here has to do with people who are living in your country. You follow that? If the stranger sojourn with thee in your land, okay? If we have somebody, and I heard a statistic just recently that we have approximately, if I remember this correctly, 11 million strangers who sojourn with us on tourist visas and student visas and work visas every year. These are people from various countries of the world who come here. They come here to see the Grand Canyon. They come here to see Disney World. They come here to see Mount Rushmore or Old Faithful. They come here to go whitewater rafting on the Colorado River. They come here to go to New York City. They come here to see Washington, D.C. or the Statue of Liberty. You know, for whatever reason, they just come here to visit. I remember when I was in England, stationed in England in the Air Force, it would be funny because I would meet some people, some British people, and they would say, oh, I just would love to visit the States. I would love to visit. I say, well, where would you want to go if you visit the States? And they'd say, oh, I want to go to New York City, and then I want to go to Grand Canyon, and then from there I want to see Mount Rushmore, and then I want to go to Disney World, and then I want to go to, and they would give me all these places. I say, well, how long are you planning on going to the United States? And they'd say, about a week. Because, you know, England, if I remember correctly, was about the size of Alabama. Yeah. You could see a lot of Alabama in about a week. And so the vastness of the United States compared to England was kind of hard for them to comprehend. And I would say, well, you might want to consider a little more than a week if you want to see those things, or more than one trip. But the fact of the matter is, we have a lot of tourists, a lot of people who come on work visas, a lot of people who come on student visas. And I heard about 11 million of them a year. And then, of course, there's other people that come for this, that, or the other ways and reasons and things of that nature, as well as a small percentage of people. I think the statistic that I heard was on average, I don't know, past 10 years or whatever, we've allowed on average about 50,000 refugees into the country each year and things like that. But what we're getting at here in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33, is a stranger, you know, a foreigner, if you want to use that word, a non-citizen, if you prefer that phrase, is sojourning, living, spending a little bit of time with you in your land. Now, this is not somebody who's outside of your country. This is not somebody that you're saying, oh, look how bad their life is over there, let's bring them into our country. This verse right here is dealing with non-citizens living in your land. That's what it says. If the stranger sojourn with thee in your land, it says this, ye shall not vex him. Now, I have to point out something here real quick. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible, and I'm reading for a reason. One of the reasons is I believe that the King James Version of the Bible is the correct Word of God in the English language without error. The other other versions and such, the modern versions, have error. They leave things out. They change things. They alter things. And in this particular case, the King James Version has another advantage that most other modern English versions do not have. It uses the word your and ye here. Now, people would say, ye, that's too hard to understand. Well, it is a big word. It's two letters, Y and an E. But here's the key. Sometimes in the King James Version of the Bible, it uses thee and thou as opposed to you and your. And here's why. In 1600s, in 1611, when the King James Bible was first published, the average Englishman did not run around saying, what hast thou done? You know, they didn't use the thee and the thou and the ye and the you and all that. That was made in order, that was put together in order that they could translate in the Bible in the English language so that English readers, English speakers could understand the difference between singular and plural personal pronouns. Now, this is why it's important. I'll get here in a moment. But if it says thee or thou, starts with a TH, that's a singular personal pronoun. If it starts with a Y, like you or your or ye, that's a plural personal pronoun. And you can see the importance. If I was talking to somebody, let's say I was talking to you and you were with a group of people, and I said, I'm going to give you $100. Now, if there's 100 people there, I might be giving a dollar to each one of the 100 people. I'm giving you, the whole group, $100. Or I could be meaning you in particular $100. You don't really know unless I do something to signify how that's going to be divvied up. It might be I'm giving $50 to the rest of the group and $50 to you personally. But if I use the convention that was established with the writers of the King James Bible, and I say I'm going to give thou, with that T-H, thou $100, you know that you in particular are getting the $100 because I just signify that that's a singular personal pronoun. So if I'm going to give thee or thou $100, you know you get it, not the whole group. It's for you. Well, let's get back to Leviticus 19:33. If a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, that's collective. That's a plural pronoun. That's your land, meaning your country, all your countrymen. Ye shall not vex him, meaning you, your neighbor, the guy down the street, the guy around the block, the guy on the other side of the state, the guy on the East Coast, the guy on the West Coast, shall not vex him, because it means everybody. This means that the people living in the land should not signal out these strangers that happen to be for a time in your land. And sojourning happens to deal with a lot of times a temporary time spent there. And so when different people from other countries were in their land, they weren't supposed to single them out and cause trouble for them. They weren't to vex them. That means cause trouble for them. And so when we have people from other countries in our country, we should welcome them. Now, these are people who are in our country, who are living in our country temporarily or working in our country or visiting our country, and we should treat them like decent human beings. I mean, we should be nice to them. And then, of course, then it says, but if the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, then thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And this includes people who were born here. This includes people who, though they may have been of foreign origin, they live among you, and you treat them like yourself. That's how you get along with different people in your country. Now, this as yet has nothing to do with people who are living in a foreign land. This all has to do, and maybe you've heard this applied to the immigration issue, this all has to do with people living in your land and how to treat them. We got another half hour to come. Stay with us.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and we'd love to hear from you tonight. Just a reminder, we're brought to you tonight by both the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. If you're in Northeast Ohio, we'd love to have you visit with us. And also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. You can find them located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give them a call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. If you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, maybe you're interested in opening a shop or adding pizza to an existing restaurant, you can give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. He can help you get started. It's not a franchise. It's his own pizza recipe, his own dough, his own sauce. Real good. Just had some last Thursday, and I know you'll enjoy it. All right. Well, we are going to get on to a couple of things here, and let's see. I've got a couple of people calling in. If you're calling in, we're having a few little problems here right this evening. But if you're ringing, just let it keep ringing, and we're gonna try and get to you here just as soon as we can. And let's see if we get this to work right here. We have, I believe, Dana calling in tonight. Dana, welcome to the program this evening.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Al. Happy New Year. I haven't spoken to you in a good, maybe about a year and a half to 2 years. Listen, I have a few questions. I'll try not to stay on the phone too long. I was brought up Catholic when I was a child. When I first started not going to church, it was out of saying to myself, well, you know, I know what they teach, what they pray and everything like that, but they were not teaching the Bible as a tool for living and how to apply it to your everyday life. Mm-hmm. And I knew other people who were non-denominational and all of that who were, you know, who were using the Bible as a tool. And I was never taught that. So I had to start, I started to read the Bible and learn how to, you know, I was embarrassed in 1993, I didn't even know the writings on the side of the Bible, you know, where it tells you the verse number. Oh,
like
the chapter
in the margins or something where it gives you some references. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the references, you know. So I knew that it was required of me because one day I was talking to a girl and she wanted to give her life to Jesus. And we prayed the sinner's prayer, but I felt as though there was something more that I had to give her, that mm-hmm. I had to say to her, that I felt like a void within myself. And it was really strange for me. So I thought to myself, well, I better start studying. And that's when I really developed a love for studying the Bible.
Right.
What I want to know is, Is there anywhere in the Bible where it talks about the mother Jesus being lifted up into heaven?
Well, no. That's the easy answer right there. It comes from a false teaching that the Catholic Church propagates about Mary. Mary was a young Jewish woman who was chosen of God for a very special purpose, that purpose was to bear the Christ child. And she was Jesus' earthly mother, and of course Jesus had no earthly father because the sin nature is inherited through the father, not through the mother. And so Mary herself, had a sin nature. She wasn't without sin, as the Catholic Church falsely teaches. In fact, I had an interesting discussion with a lady who was in the Legion of Mary, and I said, well, Mary recognized that Jesus was her Savior, and because she had a sin nature, because she had an earthly father. And they were saying, well, no, in order to bear the sinless body of Christ, she had to be without sin, because a sinful body couldn't bear a sinless body. And I said, well, then if that's the case, then Mary, so they were trying to say Mary was born without sin. And I said, if that's the case, then Mary had to be born to a mother who was without sin. And she looked at me seriously and said, well, some of us believe that that's the case. And I said, well, then if her mother was without sin, then her grandmother had to be without sin, and her great-grandmother had to be without sin. I said, you would have to take that all the way back to Eve, and we know that Eve was not without sin, because we have a very clear record in Genesis chapter 3 that Eve disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit. So we know that that could not possibly be, because Eve is the mother of all living. The Bible tells us that. And so all living people have Eve as their mother, so you cannot get an unbroken string of mothers going back to Eve without sin. So that just logically falls apart completely, other than the fact that it's not biblically correct either. And if I can think about while I'm talking here, I'll find that verse where Mary refers to Jesus as Lord or Savior. I'm trying to think how it goes just off the top of my head. But the idea is that sin does not come through the mother. So that's why I always kid and say, well, all you wives out there, you can look at your husband when the kids misbehave and say, see, it's your fault. Because, you know, by one man, the Bible says, sin entered into the world and death by sin. That, even though Eve sinned and disobeyed God, the responsibility came to Adam, because Adam chose to disobey God and follow Eve in her sin. And that was a free choice. The Bible says Eve was basically tricked. She was beguiled. And so as a consequence, Adam made that willful choice. And so by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin, according to the Bible. And that's why Jesus came into the world born in the form of a man. He took on a human nature so that he could die for our sins. But by not having an earthly father, that's why I believe it's in Isaiah chapter 7 where it says, a virgin shall be with child. And that's, you know, the prediction of the virgin birth. And of course, that was fulfilled with Mary. And so Mary was tremendously honored out of all the women who have ever lived to be the mother of Jesus Christ. But she is not, as some people call, the mother of God, because God had no mother. God had no father. God is the eternal, self-existent, you know, Jehovah God. He has always existed.
I think the reason that they probably say that is because Jesus is the fullness of God, the Godhead bodily.
Yeah, but Mary was not the mother of his divinity. She was the mother of his humanity. And in the incarnation, Jesus remained, you know, deity, but he took on human flesh and he took on a human nature. As we say, he wasn't half God, half man. That would make him a demigod, like, you know, the Greek mythology. Hercules, for instance, his father was a god, his mother was a mortal, so he was a demigod. Jesus wasn't a demigod, the offspring of a god and a mortal. He was God who took on human flesh. God created within the womb of Mary a human body that Jesus indwelt. Mary was the mother of that human body. Her DNA was in that human body, and as a result, Jesus was able to be, as the Bible says, of the seed of David and of the seed of Abraham, in which all the nations of the world would be blessed. And so as a consequence, he had to take on that human nature and that human body. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mary was the mother of Jesus' human body, but Jesus already existed before Mary ever was created. So Mary could not be the mother mm-hmm. of God. She could merely be the mother of the human body that God was incarnated
right.
into.
With the created purpose of being born for salvation.
Exactly, yeah. And so as a consequence,
why do they call Jesus the second Adam?
Well, because the first Adam, of course, is the one who plunged us into sin, and so in that respect, he is doing what Adam did, only in the opposite direction, taking us out of sin. And so by coming into the world, what he made possible. Was a way for us to find salvation, because he did what mm-hmm. we couldn't do. We couldn't go to the cross and pay for the sins of the world. The most we could maybe do is pay for our own sins, but it takes us an eternity mm-hmm. to do it. And if you think about it this way, if you think about it logically, God is an eternal being. He exists outside of time, and he's eternal. So every moment of time is eternal to Jesus. As God. And so that moment on the cross, humanly speaking, some 2,000 some years ago, which was really just a few hours on the cross, God is still experiencing that moment. He's experienced that moment at the beginning of the foundation of the world. He's experiencing that moment right now, because that moment is real to God right now, just as this moment is real to us, because he's an eternal being. Every moment of time, I believe, is just as real to God as every other moment of time, because he's outside of time. In fact, God created time, and time is contained within God. After all, in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, there was no time before the beginning. And that makes God the first cause of everything. And then everything that happened as a result of God saying in the beginning. And so we've got a number of things going on there. But unfortunately, what happened is the Catholic Church has built Mary up into the co-redemptress, where they actually claim in the Roman Catholic Catechism that was written by the last Pope, Pope Benedict, when he was still Cardinal, not Pope Benedict, what was his name now? Pope Benedict. But I was trying to think of his name as Cardinal Ratzinger. That's it.
Ratzinger.
Yeah, he's the one who wrote this book, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and he wrote it at the request of Pope John Paul II. In fact, there's a lengthy letter by Pope John Paul II at the beginning of it, stating why this sums up and is what the Catholic Church believes. And in this, it says that Mary is the co-redemptress, which the Bible says there's only one mediator, and that's Jesus Christ. There's no other mediator between God and man other than Christ Jesus. And so Mary did not enter into Christ's sufferings to purchase our salvation. She suffered when Jesus died, but she suffered because she saw her son dying on the cross. She didn't suffer for us. Mm-hmm. She suffered for herself. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the sole sacrifice for our sin. He's the only one that paid for our sin, and he is the only mediator between us and God. And so as a consequence, the Catholic Church, for whatever reasons, has added all this stuff onto Mary over the centuries. I mean, they didn't add everything all at once. In fact, I think it was the 1800s that the Catholic Church decided that Mary didn't really die. She ascended bodily up into heaven. It's not taught in the Bible, and it wasn't official church doctrine until, I guess, like the 1800s or something. So, yes, there's a lot of stuff like that, and, the there's some, you know, trying to use titles. There was a title, the Queen of Heaven, and that we find in the Bible, but that wasn't a prophecy of Mary or anything like that coming. That was, in fact, referring to a false goddess of the time. We could call her Ashtaroth or Astarte or even Venus or something like that. And it's interesting because in Jeremiah, he talks about the Queen of Heaven several times, and he talks about, here's one right here, Jeremiah 7, verse 18, where they make cakes to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings unto the other gods. And then, you know, so they made these cakes for her during a certain period of time. They burnt incense to her and a number of things that they did. And this was like Ashtaroth or something, a false goddess. To apply the term Queen of Heaven to Mary is to apply the term that was given to a false goddess to Mary. Not fair to Mary.
I'm hearing a lot from, you know, a lot of stuff from people who are women, what do they call that? I guess they would call it mostly from, I don't want to say the lesbian group of people, but people who are just so firm on women's rights and everything like that. And what they're doing is they're saying stuff like, they're thinking that because Jesus, and it isn't until I'm in the middle of a spiritual situation where those people were there, you know, where their spirits are being revealed to me. But what it is that they seem to have the idea that Jesus, because Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, you know, he's a miracle-working God and our Savior. But then you have people saying, well, remember at the wedding feast of Cana, whenever they went up and they asked Mary, you know, about the wine, and she said, well, go there and talk to my son Jesus.
Yeah, and in fact,
and
that's the only command
she
Mary ever gave.
The Holy Ghost through Jesus, the way that the modern day person talks about the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Well, no, what she did there is, that's the only command that Mary ever gave in the Bible. She said, whatsoever, you know, he says unto you, do it. So basically Mary said, do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And, you know, that's really,
there are a lot of people that think that at that time, that at that point that Jesus, that Mary was becoming a quote unquote Holy Ghost.
No, she wasn't the Holy Ghost. In fact, I found the verse I was looking for. Luke chapter 1, Mary said this. This is Mary's words recorded in the Bible, Luke chapter 1, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Mary said in verse 46 and 47, Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and 47, we read this, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, that's verse 46, and then verse 47, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary is referring to her Savior. Mary, in that statement, is saying she has a Savior. If Mary was without sin, she wouldn't need a Savior. If Mary had become the Holy Ghost or something, she wouldn't need the Savior. See, Mary is a woman who was honored in a tremendous way, but she's a woman that had a sin nature who needed a Savior. And she recognized that God would be her Savior because she was an intelligent, educated, you know, Jewish young lady. She had no doubt studied Scripture and things of that nature. And I'm just watching the clock. I know I got another caller to call in here that's been waiting patiently as well. But I want to give you a verse here from Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 44, it says this in chapter 44, verse 6. The Bible says, Isaiah 44, verse 6, thus saith the Lord, and it's a capital L there, capital O-R-D, so we know that means Jehovah. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel. And then there's a comma, and it says, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. And Lord is all capitalized there, again, meaning Jehovah. So you could literally read this as, thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel, and Jehovah, the King of Israel's Redeemer, the Jehovah of Hosts. And that's a reference to God the Father, Lord, the King of Israel, and God the Son, Jesus, and his Redeemer, the Lord of Hosts. And Mary realized that there was going to be a Savior who would be God himself, a Redeemer. And she recognized that, and that's the Savior she's talking about. Hey, Dana, I apologize, but I do have to get George on here before we run out of time. Got less than 5 minutes.
Okay.
But did that help a little bit at least?
I appreciate you helping me to understand some of those things, because I hear all different types of things, and I don't want to end up being confused myself.
Yeah. Well, I would get a copy of the King James Version of the Bible, not the New King James, but the King James. You can find one pretty easily, and do a word search on Mary and Queen of Heaven, things like that, and I think you'll find it interesting. So, you can even do that online.
Right.
But hey, thanks for calling, Dana.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks again. All right, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got George waiting, and George, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello, Pastor.
Hi, George. Sorry to keep you from waiting here tonight.
Oh, no. You know, you got to attend to business, right?
Well, and you're the next business, so.
Okay. John 3:16 might be a simple clarification of what you were speaking upon. But, yeah, I thought all the being raised Catholic, I thought what you said was, you know, it was really great, especially when you traced back to Eve, you know, for that lady. That pretty much summed it all up right there.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I wanted to just talk about a little bit about Donald Trump. You had made mention of him, and I think we stand probably in the same place, but I had thought that somehow the hand of God was upon him and took him through all the course of events to cause him to be president when it looked impossible.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, in looking in the future, sometimes I get troubled because of the tremendous protests against him and everything he does, and it's going to be an organized protest. And when I think of Donald Trump, I think of Gideon, and how his 300 chased 120,000 a flight. And,
oh, absolutely.
And that just sort of stuck in my mind. But the comforting thing about, in reflecting upon this and the events surely to come in the near future, is to reflect upon the past and see what God's already done for him on America's behalf. And does that make any sense to you?
Yes, and I agree totally with you. I believe that God intervened here. Daniel said God raises up kings, and I think God's people were praying, and we need to pray for him.
Right.
We knew the protests were going to be there. Remember, President George W. When he was president, President Bush is, you know, 24/7 protesters. It seemed like the entire 8 years, pretty much. But here is something that I found very helpful that I think has set a good tone in showing that God is with him. And on Saturday, when they were swearing in the staffers for the White House, some of the White House staffers, Vice President Pence was doing the swearing in, and Donald Trump had some remarks before the swearing in, and he said this. He said that it was going to be tough, and he said, "With God, we will get the job done." And that's encouraging. And his unwavering support of Israel, he's already been in touch with the Prime Minister of Israel, inviting him to come over in early February, which gives me a moment real quick to point out. Last week we were talking about the possibility of an announcement this past week of moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and that, of course, did not come this past week. But I was talking with several people, and we were thinking about this, thinking, well, you know, wouldn't that make sense if Prime Minister Netanyahu from Israel was over here and they issued a joint conference and said that Netanyahu has indicated that he's supportive of the move of the embassy. He agrees that it should be done. He would like to see it happen, but he thinks it needs to be done at the right in the right way, because it is going to be a sensitive thing and it's going to stir more protests and everything. But there's nothing Trump can do that won't stir protests. You know, the media is against him, the mainstream media,
right?
And George Soros is spending a lot of money trying to destroy this country, and so he's bankrolling. Reminds me so much back in the 1980s when the peace movement all around the world that was funded totally, well, I shouldn't say totally, but largely by the Soviet Union, trying to disrupt Western governments and prevent us from winning the Cold War. Hey, George, I want to apologize. We're out of time here. Got less than 10 seconds. Want to thank you for calling. Thanks to everybody for listening. God bless. Join us next time.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
When you leave for work each day, what's your motivation? Why do you go? This is Chris Brown with the True Stewardship Minute. Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. You are serving the Lord Christ. You're working for someone, not something. God designed work for His glory and our good. It's not a 9-to-5 routine. It's a chance every day to live with purpose. But if we don't glorify God through our paycheck or accomplishments, how do we know if we're doing our work for the Lord?